Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyu and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio and podcast. Recently, we have delved into the intricate connections between gut, brain and skin and their profound impact on overall skin health. I'm thrilled to introduce our guest today, Dr. Jinga Patel. Her journey in healthcare began in pediatrics and general practice, but her passion for dermatology and mental health soon took center stage. Embracing a holistic approach to wellness, she has seamlessly integrated aesthetics, skin health, and regenerative medicine into her practice. With a wealth of experience and expertise, Dr. Patel serves as a clinical lead advisor for Hinawa Technology and made her debut at Dubai Derma 2024. Hi, Dr. Patel. Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. I'm excited to continue this second half of our conversation. And I believe that we've had a good experience so far. So I'm excited.
Absolutely, we did indeed. And we had lots of things that we didn't manage to discuss in our previous conversation. So thank you very much for accepting to come back and actually explore even more the connection between gut, brain and skin and, you know, the impact on the overall health, because you are someone who does like to have a more holistic approach and practice a more holistic methods when it comes to treating patients, isn't it? So just give us a very brief introduction about your background, about your passion for holistic methods and trying to reach to patients in multiple different ways rather than only traditional medicine.
Yeah, so really it comes through my evolution, I suppose, professionally and personally. As I've mentioned before, I think when you learn one way of a career, you don't get the opportunity necessarily to explore beyond your practice, right? So I mentioned previously that in certain areas of our education as doctors has been lacking. And, you know, I'm the first to put my hands up because we're trained in certain ways. So taking a step back to look at how nutrition affects our health, looking at how psychology has an impact on the way we function overall and how that affects our skin and our gut health. And then life experiences have really taught me to stand back and look at somebody and myself as a whole, which sounds very straightforward, but when you really do think about it, it does take a lot of self-work and a lot of self-reflection to be able to understand that we all work so differently and that there isn't a one-size-fits-all for a lot of us. So taking the opportunity in my time, you know, I've had to step away and when I wasn't well in the past, to really sit down and focus and find inspiration to continue working but evolving in my practice. So I'm grateful for those times of adversity, but also it has really opened my eyes to wanting to do better for patients but also for people in general. And that's probably why I've been able to kind of blend myself, if that makes sense, and really start to appreciate that, you know, there are sometimes situations or cases or moments where what's being proposed to me by people is probably the right way for them, you know, and that takes a lot to come forward and say that when clinically it's so driven in a one direction, yet the emphasis is to become patient and person centered. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely it does. I'm just curious to understand a bit more from your experience. How do you think patients receive this approach? What are some of the reactions you've
yes,
had?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, because I know some of the cases we spoke outside this conversation, this formal conversation. So I know that there were some really excellent success cases that you kindly share with me. So I'm just curious, you know, when they see Dr. Jinga Patel different, having a different approach than the traditional GP, for example, what's the vibe there?
It's a bit mixed, actually, to be honest with you, in a good way. I think we have to be receptive to the idea that everybody looks at things from different angles, right? I've had a lot of kind of a surprise, I suppose, or kind of expectation that it is a one way or the highway approach. But I really have started to listen to people, like really listen to people and pick out stressors and provokers, which has led to the end result, which has brought them to me or to others, you know? And I think by taking that step back, and I remember in my training days that when I was being assessed for particular competencies when I was a junior GP trainee, and my trainer at the time was like, the most powerful thing you can do is listen to someone. And I just thought, at the time, it didn't really resonate because I was thinking, well, okay, but I've got to think about what's the right investigation and what's the right treatment, right?
Yeah.
So I always think about that because I was thinking, well, actually, if you just allow someone to be themselves, sometimes with a little bit of digging, the answers reveal themselves pretty much. And I haven't had to really put my clinical hat on, which is bizarre, isn't it? Because you just think, well, I've been through all these years of training and I can apply them. But actually, human beings, we're so complex, yet we can be so simple to manage. And actually, I've been having these exact conversations this week, actually on Tuesday. I was on call on Tuesday. And the amount of times I said keeping things simple was eye-opening for a lot of people. So expecting you to throw a whole barrage of stuff and then that's it, you're done. But no, actually, sometimes we need to step back and do nothing. Or think about something completely outside of the box that's maybe to do with the mind. And it does throw people. But actually, I quite enjoy that. It's a nice way to kind of challenge yourself and see how real you can be with people, I think. And that gives off the energy, doesn't it? It gives off that kind of human connection. And really, my area of medicine, when I'm spending my time in general practice, is about people, believe it or not. A lot of people will disagree, but that's because of how someone comes across. So it's taken a long time to get to that point. I think it has to, because you have to go through your own realizations to come to a point where you're able to connect with people properly.
I think the idea of partnership in this type of context, traditional context like medicine, like psychotherapy, right? The partnership idea is not necessarily at the center of the method that is applied. Of course, psychotherapy is a bit different because it does work with the patient more, and of course it's quite specific. But when it comes to traditional medicine, it's really it should be. When it comes to traditional medicine, I think opening this idea of partnership and involving the patient, it's quite empowering also for them. So many times I've heard feedback from my friends, from my family, saying, look, I went to my GP and the conversation was quite straightforward. It just focused in one direction. I didn't get a chance to explain exactly what, how I feel about things, what's the area that really concerns me, because it might be my stomach, but actually I've gone through some very difficult times in the past 2 months and I think it might be something else. So, you know, give it that opportunity to open up to patients. I think patients is quite innovative, and it shouldn't, but it is. Here we are, 2024, trying to introduce this idea of partnership. Dr. Patel, let's go back on the topic, because I know us two, we can talk and talk and talk, which is brilliant, but we really need to go back to the gut, brain, and skin axis, and just to understand very briefly, what's the role of each of them in the system, in the overall system, when it comes to maintaining our skin health? How does it work? Why is it important?
Yeah, so as I previously had said, that we're so intricately connected. It is not straightforward in the sense that you focus on one area in isolation. And I will say, up until most recently, especially when it comes to the aesthetic or cosmetic side of things, it has been very one-directional. Treat the outside and And it's the most important. Yes, it is the largest organ for sure, but it's beyond that, right? It's our encasing for what's within. That's how I like to think about it. So, you know, when I talked initially about how we function, obviously the center of focus has been for so long about gut health, right? And that most diseases originate in the gut. Well, that is largely true, actually. And when we think about a happy gut, we then think about the implications of what that has for the rest of our body. So if we go to the reverse of that, the unhappy side, well, if one, apart from being unable to meet your adequate nutritional needs for various reasons, whether that's poverty, famine, psychological concerns, which has a massive impact for lots of people on what they can consume or not consume, or perhaps go the other way. If we have an unhappy gut, that disturbs the way it functions, and our barrier is meant to be quite robust and keep good things in and prevent bad things from getting in. If that barrier is not intact and nicely uniform, there's gaps that appear between cells. And because of that, we can get toxins and chemicals filtering in through to the bloodstream. And as a result of that, that then makes its way around the body, including the skin, but to joints, to various organs, and to our brain. So when we think about the connections, it is not just straightforward as, okay, we'll just look at the mind in isolation, right? Or the gut or the skin. They're all going to be connected by various happy and not so happy signals, as I like to call it. So when we think about looking at somebody who might have a chronic skin condition, for instance, we want to kind of, the way I approach it is think about, right, what is the trigger? Yes, I can see there's something there, but what is setting this off? And sometimes it's very hard to know. And sometimes it might be something rare and needs specialist investigation for sure. But a lot of the time, the core principles come back in what's going on with the mind and what's going on with the gut. And that is why we're moving into this area of really starting to put these dots together, because by doing so, and it may not be all in one consultation, or it might require several, or need a treatment plan or some sort of navigation, then we start to really address the root cause of the problem instead of just covering up or putting a plaster on it.
Well, I think overall the expectation is to from people in general to get quick fixes, and your approach might take a bit more time, but it goes to the root of the problem. So can you share some innovative approaches or therapies that you've utilized in your practice to address the connection between the brain, gut, and skin?
So this is where it really does come down to what the patient's main triggers are. So when you say innovative, sometimes it's underused approaches, mm-hmm. right? So for me, I really do start to think about, I will sometimes step back entirely from treating a condition, and it does cause a little bit of discomfort sometimes, but then the penny drops. So if I think there is a major psychological trigger, then we will sit down and address that first and see what happens with the impact on, for instance, someone's gut or skin. And that is a very good way of trying to help somebody, because ultimately the motivation to change and the motivation to follow a treatment plan has to be there and has to be ready. So I have noticed in the past that when I was in this kind of unevolved, kind of narrow approach, if you like, that you could sit there and say to somebody, I'd like you to go and, you know, exercise 3 times a week, or eat this and eat that, not eat that, or, you know, simple things. They're not ready. They're not able to take that step because there is a huge amount of stress going on. Their mind is somewhere else. They're anxious, they're depressed, or whatever. So if you're missing that altogether, the outcome is going to be poorer. So sometimes we'll step away and we'll really think about, right, what kind of interventions do you need? Do you need to go and have talking therapy? Do you need to have CBT? Do you need to step away and start journaling? Is it that you need to ground yourself and you're somebody who has an anxious energy and might feel sensitive or an empath? There's so many little things like that. So we'll sit down and try and tease out what is going to work for this person to be able then to navigate through a treatment plan. Now, that doesn't always work for everybody because they want instant fixes, and I get that. And yes, sometimes they're in pain or have disorders or are unwell, and you have to address that acutely with medication, yes. But the long run approach is how I like to think about this. And I always try to think about what can someone have going in the background that is going to give them some consistency to help them cope with what they're suffering or what they're going through, whether that is the skin or whether that is a chronic condition that involves an internal organ. And it takes work. And that's the thing, isn't it? It takes us a lot of work to be able to accept that understanding how we cope and understanding what happens if we don't cope, how it manifests. And that's how patients start to learn about themselves. So I've actually gone that way for a lot of people. And for others, it will be then down to their gut, completely down to their gut. What is not present as opposed to what they are having? And a lot of the time, it is the lack, as we've mentioned before, it is the lack of the stuff that the gut needs, the fiber that the gut needs, and having the wrong types of sugars. And I don't try to expand more than that, because sometimes when you do go into areas where you're trying to get down to the finite detail or one particular thing, you can drive somebody into an obsessive approach. I think you can get very consumed with trying to identify something, unless it's a condition that needs genetics or needs certain testing and markers done through a specialist or a functional practitioner. You can keep things simple. And I think sometimes when we've evolved so much and there's so much now available, there comes a point where you have to kind of step back and think, is this all necessary or is it not? Can we really get to the crux of a problem if we just simply step back and look at how we behave or cope and what we consume?
Do you have any specific cases of patients, maybe recently, that, for example, came with a skin condition, but actually the underlying problem was a bit different, and your approach to their health concerns actually led them to more sustainable results than traditional medicine?
Yes, absolutely. So I know we touched on it on the last episode, but it rings really true with me, this particular acne case, where it was all, she was had a number of consultations, had been to several practitioners here and abroad, had a strong history of convincing conditions in the family that I thought she may have had as well. To be fair, it may evolve into that in the future. I can't predict that, but I can, you know, give her a risk versus probability based on investigations and knowing what the genetics are. But when I really just sat down with her and stripped back and thought, what are you consuming? Because this is really important. And it was zero fiber, absolutely zero fiber. And I couldn't quite believe it, because I thought, is that even possible? But yes, it is. There, of course it is. We see with the number of people with eating highly processed foods, that has massive implications. And sat down with her, and it took several weeks. It really did, to try and change her mindset, to start introducing small amounts of fiber naturally, i.e. via foods, 1 week at a time. And not coincidentally, but as I then started to treat her skin, she felt better. She was less sluggish. She was less anxious. Her skin started to really behave. And I haven't done anything with her other than treat her. No skincare, no nothing. And I'm due to see her at some point soon. But it's remarkable. She's off medication. She doesn't need to go on something that specialists prescribe, because the core reason ultimately for her acne was the lack of fiber for her. So that's really made me think, wow, okay, whilst I love doing what I do in terms of treatments, and of course that has its place, if I just sit down and step back and think about what someone's perhaps consuming and help them diversify their diet and push them to do so and motivate them, because it does take that. I mean, I have days where I you know, you have good days and bad days. Of course, we all do. But if I can help them understand why that would benefit, then it is much easier. And she's doing really, really well for herself. And that's all I want for her. So that's really resonated and made me think, okay, you know what? Our skin communicates so many messages to us about a person, but they're being missed by so many people. And that's why I like this approach, because it really allows, it's more rewarding for me. It makes me feel like I've truly started to understand the human body instead of just, you know, parrot learning fashion, anatomy and, you know, connections and systems and what do you give for this problem, because that's how it has been taught to us. So that's a really good example of how modifying your intake can help a lot of people improve their skin.
After our initial conversation, I started making some changes to my diet because I was, And I've been diligent since then. Especially, I remember you mentioned blueberries and every, you know, fruit that's from the berries a family. So I've started introducing this into my diet every single day. So I completely see how, you know, a small change like this can have an impact, and it doesn't have to be necessarily medicine. We should be using food. We should be using, you know, self-care practices, which I'm very curious to hear about. What's your take on that?
Yes.
In order to make sure that we are looking at our body in its integrity and not just in small portions. Dr. Patel, let's take a short commercial break and we'll be back discussing the role of probiotics.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and
cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Dr. Patel. We're discussing gut-brain connection, the impact on the skin. What role do probiotics and gut health play in managing skin conditions? What are some of the principles? And how do we understand the difference between what is good for your gut versus what is good for your skin?
So that's a really good question. And actually, a really interesting one, because when we had our last conversation, I did say that there are some similarities between our gut and skin, but there are also some differences. And whilst at an embryology or fetal level, before we're born, we're made in such a way where the external part of us, our skin, is in a continuum with our gut. It's not going to have the same species of bacteria in both places. And this is where a lot of people fail to understand that actually using one thing in one place doesn't necessarily change or affect directly what's happening at the surface. So what do I mean by that? Well, when it comes to using things like probiotics, and that's a term that I think pretty much people are familiar with and know that, yes, good gut friendly bacteria are good for you. Well, there's some terminology I think I just want to iron out here. And that really is the concepts of prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics. So prebiotics, they're actually the fibers and food source that comes from plant foods that help to feed and stimulate the growth of our good bacteria that's present already in our gut. So it's a food source. Yeah, that's what prebiotics are. And there's so many examples of that. Some people might be familiar, beta-glucans, inulin, lactulose. These are kind of examples of food sources and fibers that our good bacteria in our gut would like to have. Okay, so probiotics, which is what most people are familiar with and will see when they shop and hear people talk about, this is the good bacteria that support the existing gut bacteria. So typical examples of what you would find in the gut, lactobacillus, streptococcus, bifidobacterium. So if you were to see people pick up products or drinks or yogurts, you'll quite often see lactobacillus as one of the bacterial families that are considered a probiotic. So these are the good bacteria that our gut likes to have and have a purpose. But what are postbiotics? Well, that's a more, I wouldn't say novel term, but one that's not talked so much. So these are actually byproducts that are produced by our gut bacteria. And those fuel sources go for supporting our gut cells and have health benefits on our host. So what does that mean? Well, if you have a nicely diverse population of bacteria in our gut and they're happy and they're being fed by their prebiotics and then they're producing good substances, then you can understand why you will then give off the right chemicals and the right signals to help support the rest of the body. So when we think about the skin, it has its own environment. And different parts of the skin have their differing environments. So it's not a case of having one bacteria that you'll find everywhere. You'll get groups and populations of bacteria, say, on the face, and that would be quite different to somewhere in the armpit or the groin area. So there's different species having different purposes and communicating with each other at a skin level. But you won't find the same bacteria on the skin. You'll find other species, for instance, C. acnes or Staph epidermidis. So they're very different species of populations. It's a bit like trying to put something or an animal from the tropics into the Antarctica. It's not a great place to be in because it's not meant to be there. So you'll get people try to support their skin health by consuming products, which is correct, because what you're trying to do is help support and build up the gut function so that the knock-on effect is to support the skin. So it's not to have a direct impact, it has an indirect impact. And that's another beautiful way to kind of integrate this concept of gut, brain, skin, or should I say more towards the gut and skin and the rest of the body. And the sooner we realize that products that exist which claim to say, well, it will change the way your skin behaves. Yes, perhaps, but it will be from an internal approach because of the way that the gut bacteria are functioning or how they're being supported or if there are enough of the good species. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does. Whilst you were talking about probiotics and their role and the gut health, I was wondering if... What's the type of collaboration that you have with nutritionists, for example?
Yeah.
And I know we spoke about a bit the connection with the psychology, but with nutrition, I think it's such an essential part of what you're doing. How does that work in practice?
Yeah. So this is it. It comes down to what the pet person is looking for. Sometimes they're looking for a simple resource, and there's some wonderful people who are now conducting themselves online who are really impressive when it comes to nutritional health, and social media is great for that. But there are people who need help and support to look at their entire diet for various reasons. So connections to nutritionists can be challenging, but there's nothing to say that you can't reach out to specific individuals who put themselves out there in the world in a reliable way. We do refer to nutritionists, and I have done so, where patients are really struggling to be supported and understand the right diversity of foods that they need. It's often more the case with diabetics, where the nutritional input comes into play more. But there are people who have a number of intolerances or who have issues with purely with intake because they're suffering so badly with anxiety or depression, and they need that support. So connection to nutrition isn't a problem. Obviously, accessibility can be, and waiting times can be, but there's nothing to say that you can't point someone in the direction of reliable resources that are widely available to all of us, especially online.
I'm not sure how the system works in the UK when it comes to being referred to a nutritionist, but am I correct to think that unless you have a significant health issue, you won't be referred to a nutritionist and you might need to potentially go private for care?
Yeah, so it is difficult because, and I can't speak for every area because it varies between areas. But what I will say is that there are some terms and conditions that get posed across, and often it is around weight loss and degrees of weight loss or particular feeding issues, or if a specialist has advised that they really do need nutritional support. And the most common example would be, aside from diabetes, would be those with SIBO and those with IBS, where nutrition is highly connected and dietitian support is highly connected as part of helping support individuals who have those conditions. So it can be very, very tricky. And going private is an option for so many and is not an option for so many. But that's why I always try to help patients who identify resources where they can connect with individuals online, perhaps for free, making sure they're reliable resources, obviously, to help them gauge ways to support their intake without having to wait for long periods of time to see someone specifically who may not have a lot of time for them anyway.
No, absolutely. And I think what we were discussing previously about the fact that, you know, in your practice, you do sit down with your patients and look at these aspects too. And this is something that, you know, I think it's an essential part of the job of a general practitioner to look at the diet, especially in this day and age where obesity levels are off the roof and the quality of the food is, to say the least, problematic. So absolutely, you know, if patients don't have the finances to go private, then maybe GPs should open a bit more about their expertise in nutrition and offer their, you know, guidance when it comes to what should we eat in order to support our body. We'll be back with Dr. Patel after a couple of minutes of a commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel, I know for a fact that you love research and you love this aspect of your job. So are there any emerging research findings or technological advances that you're particularly excited about these days when it comes to skin health and holistic medicine?
Well, yes, I am. I will say that, I have a particular interest, as you know, with skin, and that is my area of aesthetic medicine that I'm really into and have evolved into. And research is wonderful. Science is wonderful. And when I say that, people think, oh, she's going to go down the medical route and it's all going to be about drugs. Well, no, because actually what's coming through now is really focusing on the skin microbiome. And this is an area which I actually stumbled upon during the pandemic when I was going through a health crisis. And I wanted an area that I was naturally going to be drawn to help me cope with that. So just being honest. And for so many years, I've been taught a certain way, and many of us are, about what is good to have on our skin and what isn't. And there was this culture, and there is heavily still this culture, of having over-sanitization, over-caring, trying to get rid of all the bad stuff. And you know, a pandemic has helped to fuel that. But even for us as clinicians and for people, anything on the skin is bad for you. Well, actually, that is not the case at all. So came across work which started to look at understanding the what's really on the skin surface, what isn't there, and if what isn't there causing a problem. So skin microbiome specific targeted therapies is fairly new area, but it's going to evolve and it's going to take precedence, I believe, in the coming years. So what does that mean? So that looks at our skin bacteria. And as I mentioned to you before, we have species that we want to have in the gut, but we also need to have them on the surface of the skin. So that might sort of make people surprised, because they think, well, actually having bacteria is bad. No, it's not. It's having a lack of diversity for some people, or having more diversity for some people, that's a problem. And the clever thing that is starting to emerge is that we're starting to understand the presence of certain species of bacteria and what they do and how they communicate with other bacteria and what that does to our immune system. So this is really exciting, because I will hand on my heart admit, and probably represent so many clinicians and so many practitioners, where we've been taught the complete opposite. So our skin microbiome contributes to the structure of how our skin develops. It helps to boost chemical barrier function of our skin and has a direct communication with our immune system. So not only is our skin the largest organ, but it is an immune organ. So targeted therapies are starting to look at how can we directly perhaps improve the diversity or put back the healthy species onto the skin. So that's one area that I'm really excited about because I happen to use products and practice with that. And actually look at the implications of doing so. So the benefits of helping to help people with acne by putting certain healthy species of acne, believe it or not, or the, should I say, components and metabolites of back onto the skin. But also some new research very recently coming out about how important it is to understand our bacteria and the role in inflammatory skin disease, particularly eczema, rosacea, atopic dermatitis, acne being the most common that we see. And I thought, wow, this is amazing because hang on a second, are we perhaps misunderstanding what we're dealing with? And also, are we maybe using the wrong ingredients, or are we trying to overdo and strip away and kill bacteria when we really don't need to? So that really stopped me in my tracks because I thought nobody has actually sat down and made me think really hard about what I'm doing. That doesn't mean that I don't still practice certain ways, but it's made me really think about, right, does this person really need an antibiotic? Does this person really need to have every part of their oil stripped away from their skin? Does this person really need me to go around killing the bacteria that cause acne by definition, where in fact, actually, it's not bad for you? It's the fact that we are taking away or getting rid of or not having enough of the good species. So this is an area that's going to explode and evolve. And it's really set me back and made me want to dig further and understand how our immune system's involved and what happens if our hair follicle or our oil gland is unhappy, or if there's no oil gland, because there are some treatments available that destroy that. Will that have implications of the environment and our bacteria that are meant to be there on our skin surface? So that is a huge area that's evolving. It's very exciting. There's a lot of work that is yet to be discovered, and there's so much we still don't know. And I think that's refreshing because that will then help us to be guided by the scientists who are looking to develop therapies that specifically target bad species of bacteria or help to replenish the balance, which is really maybe the underlying reason why a lot of these inflammatory skin conditions are happening in the first place.
Dr. Patel, we're getting quite close to the end of our conversation today, but I don't want to finish until we speak about the self-care practices, the stress management techniques. Stress is such a big topic, isn't it? I think it's a topic itself. And how do we maintain the overall well-being for an optimal skin health?
So there's so many avenues, and I think it comes down to trying to work out if we're dealing with an inflammatory skin condition, and we have talked about this before. Again, this is a whole other topic. You never know, we might end up doing this in a podcast. But red light therapy and using specific wavelengths of light has its place, not only for dealing with inflammation, or should I say the pro-inflammation that's making our skin conditions angry, for instance, but looking at the internal impact and looking at it from a healing perspective. So there are certain wavelengths of light, red and near infrared, for instance, and having specific exposures for specific intervals and short bursts can help overall body healing at a cellular level and not just at the skin surface. So I do talk a lot about that, and I do use that form of treatment for specific patients and people, but I also use it for mood. I use it on myself and use it for mood and to help me calm down. And this is what I'm really passionate about, which is trying to help somebody regulate their nervous system. Now, I'm not a nervous system expert in that sense when it comes to practice, but understanding that if we can calm ourselves and use this principle of polyvagal theory, which is feeling safe and secure, It sounds very obvious, but practicing it is a different thing. So actually getting us into a situation where we're promoting the release of safe levels of dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin, our happy chemicals, naturally, not just in certain ways with treatments, but naturally, that is probably the best thing we can do to help our overall health, but has consequences for our skin, because we briefly talked last time about the skin stress response and what happens at the skin level with different cells and different structures. It's all triggered by what's going on from our adrenals, which are then triggered by what's going on at a brain level, and then that's impacted by our gut. So you can see everything is all connected. So I sit down and try to help somebody and say, I'm not going to tell you to do yoga and meditate, because perhaps that's not for you. And that's because I have been in that position where someone's told me to do that, but I just couldn't do it because I was so dysregulated. So I thought, I need to calm myself. How can I do that? Grounding, breathing, vagal toning, yin yoga, looking at sleep, standing out in the morning sunlight, simple things which you don't have to pay for necessarily. And it's so effective. So I will sit and actually treat a chronic inflammatory skin condition by also getting patients to consider these principles. And in the long run, they end up happier, they end up calmer, they end up wanting to help themselves, and then we both end up in a winning situation.
And I think one of the main things for patients is that they feel like they can control things, they can control their life, they can control their condition, which is not happening when you depend on medicine and strictly medicine. Dr. Patel, has been a pleasure talking to you again about the gut-brain-skin connection. If any of our listeners would like to get in touch with you, maybe ask you further questions or, you know, just reach out for support, where can we find you in the online environment?
Yes, so I'm on social media. I use Instagram. That is my focus area. So you can find me at Veda Skin Clinic. Send me a message, or you can drop me an email. The contacts are on there. More than happy to sort of put you in the right direction, but if anything else, help you.
Thank you so much, and best of luck with your work.
Thank you so much.
We finish today's conversation with an uplifting melody and empowering lyrics. It inspires a sense of well-being and encourages self-care practices. It's a catchy rhythm and soulful vocals make it a delightful addition to any playlist if you want that feel-good feeling. So let's listen now to Texas with Inner Smile. Until next time, may we hear only good things. 1, 2.